Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
My friend has problems with winter and autumn. They give him prescriptions. They shine bright lights on him. They say it's genetic. They say he can't help it. They say you can catch it. But sometimes you're born with it. My friend
has some well-known musicians, like this one, Lexington native Amanda Palmer, will be in Boston tonight, but not for a performance. Palmer, her husband and collaborator Neil Gaiman, pianist Ben Folds, and Damian Kulash of the band OK Go are here for what's being called the Rethink Music Conference. It's being put on by the Berklee College of Music. The idea is to bring together musicians, entrepreneurs, legal experts, and others to figure out how the music industry can adapt to the internet age, which now means a world where many people don't and won't pay for music. We spoke about the conference with Christopher Bavitz, he's assistant director of Harvard Law School's Cyber Law Clinic, and Alan Bargfried, a professor of music business at Berklee. We started by asking him to describe the state of the music industry today.
I think the current music industry is one that's in a state of crisis. The college-age generation doesn't pay for music. So we're at kind of a point where we need to find a new business model where is there a way to continue to monetize music so that people can make a living from music? The live music industry is pretty healthy. Artists can still go on tour and make money. But it's really a question of how do we move the recorded music industry forward?
What I hear here is a lot of similarities to the field of journalism, where once, content was available online, nobody wants to pay for it anymore. And so we saw, and we continue to see, a lot of newspapers and journalistic organizations fall short, and everybody's looking for the business model. Same thing?
Sure. I think the journalism analogy is a good one. We have these technologies that have caused crises for traditional business models. It's more difficult to figure out how one makes money in this area. At the same time, the same technologies that have caused these crises have also had a lot of benefits for, I think, artists and creators in a wide range of fields. That's allowed artists the means to make their own recordings themselves in home studios at a fraction of the cost of what it used to take to go into a studio and make a recording. It's allowed artists the ability to reach directly to fans through social media on Twitter, on Facebook. I think that those have been a great benefit to artists, and as Alan said, have led to, certainly in the live music area, still some success for bands to go out there and play and perform live. I think the struggle is going to be largely in the area of recorded music. How do we fund bands, artists to go make recordings, and how do we find innovative ways that get those recordings into the hands of consumers using a mechanism that fairly compensates everyone involved in the process?
Mm-hmm. What about legally? I mean, we've all heard about some of the legal battles, primarily against young people who download things for free, and that's not 100% legal, but it really seems like everybody sort of does it, and there's really not many ramifications for doing it. Legally, what sort of ground is there for the artists who create this music? I mean, is their stuff protected for the most part?
Sure. I think in general, musical compositions and musical sound recordings are protected by copyright laws in this country, and there have been a campaign of lawsuits. I think that one of the things we're going to hear at the conference this week in the area of law and policy is a debate over whether content owners, music companies, record labels, and music publishers, and those who actually own the rights in these materials need more tools in their arsenal to go after people. There are new legislative proposals on the horizon that would give them enhanced ability to go after people who engage in illegal file sharing.
If the legal avenue were not pursued, what are some of the other avenues that might be to protect artists and to make sure they get compensated for their art? And where is the success story or the shining light out there right now?
On top of some of the policy issues that we'll be talking about this week, we'll also be talking about new music business models. So is there a model that can breathe life back into the recorded music industry? And there have been, a number of models that have been put forth, and one of those is this flat fee subscription access to all the music you can eat for a particular amount of money per month. To me, I'm a little surprised that the access model hasn't taken hold. People are willing to pay $15 a month for Netflix and $40 a month for the gym and $150 a month for cable, but they seem unwilling to pay $10 a month for a legal subscription to all the music that they want. Mm-hmm. As far as some of the tools, I think Chris is right. I think there are a lot of tools online that people or artists can use to really promote themselves and build a career. One success story that we'll highlight this week is the band Metric. It's a Canadian band. They've been very successful building a career using the internet and using their fans, or having their fans use the internet to further promote them.
Well, we actually have a clip of Metric, so let's listen to this song. It's called Gold Guns Girls.
All the lace and the skin in the shot.
What makes Metric a success story?
I think in the past couple of years, Metric has had several radio hits. That's kind of unheard of for a band that's not on a major label. They're doing distribution on their own. They're engaging their fans on their own. Their kind of key was once they hit the 10,000 fan tipping point, suddenly they can take those 10,000 fans and have those 10,000 tell all of their friends about it and build a much larger fan base out of it. But they felt like the 10,000 number was the point at which they felt like they had a real legitimate business behind the artist.
Hmm. But how does that translate into dollars? Yeah. Oh, that's the question, right?
Well, it certainly translates into dollars in terms of live performances. Going back, if you have an enormous fan base and you can go out there from town to town and play live shows, we're seeing more and more artists saying that the live part of their many buckets of revenue, the money they make from live performing, is really becoming more and more of a key part of that. The recorded music piece of it, some are starting to argue, is much more a promotional vehicle for the live performance and for the other sort of things that go along with being a band.
That was Christopher Babbitts, assistant director of the Cyber Law Clinic at Harvard Law School, and Alan Bargfried, a professor of music business at the Berklee College of Music. The Rethink Music Conference gets underway today. During the conference, they'll award $50,000 to the best proposal for a new business model for the music industry.